This is a podcast from BBC Studios, the commercial subsidiary of the BBC.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to the BBC Studios TalentWorks podcast with me, Brona Monaghan.
And me, Helen O'Donnell.
This is an interview series with some of the most exciting and interesting and fascinating digital talent in the industry. Thank you so much for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe. We're recording live at VidCon London, and given the amount of people that are here today, it's really, really busy, and it's really exciting to see so many, many people. So these interviews are recorded in the press room, and there's lots of interviews going on, lots of people coming in and out, so I hope it's not too distracting, but we've got some really great content, and we really hope you enjoy the episode. Our guest today is Nikki Lilly.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're sitting down with a really incredible young lady. Nikki's 14 years old, but she started her YouTube channel when she was just 8, and the channel now sits at over 600,000 subscribers. Her cheerful videos feature makeup tutorials, baking tips, beauty product hauls, and other doses of digital positivity, alongside honest discussions about her health. Nikki is living with an AVM, a rare condition that's characterised by an abnormal connection between arteries and veins, and the condition that has caused the right side of her face to swell.
Yeah, so Nikki's proved herself an accomplished baker, and oh my goodness, she's won Junior Bake Off in 2016, and in the same year she was also won a Pride of Britain award. She's an established face of CBBC, having her own interview series, Nikki Lilly Meets, where she's interviewed such stars as Gary Lineker, Nicole Scherzinger, and even Theresa May.
Yeah.
She's had two episodes of My Life on CBBC. So the My Life strand is a documentary series following the highs and lows of children across the world with a unique story to tell. We also, in our role at BBC TalentWorks, did two episodes with Max and Harvey of My Life strand. Yeah, so I feel like we know it quite well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Nikki, you started your YouTube at a very young age, age 8.
And yes.
Really impressive. What first inspired you to start the channel?
So when I got diagnosed with my condition, I had to give up all of my hobbies, and I was quite an active child, so a lot of them involved something sporty or strenuous, and with my condition I can't really do anything like that because it can cause side effects. Mm-hmm. Of my condition. And so I wasn't really going to school, I wasn't really seeing my friends, and I was left feeling quite isolated and lonely, and I felt like no one understood me or no one could understand, and I just basically lost the joy of life. Mm-hmm. Really. And so I'd always watch YouTube videos. That was sort of one of my coping mechanisms, to sort of block out when I'm having a bad day, and I'd always been one to, you know, love like role play and things like that. And so one day I just turned on my iPad, and I just decided to film like this nail tutorial with this American accent. And I mean, even though it wasn't a great video, the amount of joy I had doing it and watching it back was insane. And ever since then, I just started posting more and more, and it's really, really helped my confidence grow. And I just loved being able to express myself, and I didn't even realize that my videos were being seen. I just loved sharing my interests and loves with whoever was watching.
Why an American accent?
I don't know. I feel like people are so, well, I don't know about people, but associate like production like with like American accents, like hi guys,
yeah. LA, like, Hollywood.
Like today I'm doing a nail tutorial. Like my accent's got a bit better now because I've traveled to America a couple of times for medical treatment, but back then it was so bad. I was like, hi guys. So yeah, I've brushed up a bit on that. But after that first video, I went to English.
Amazing. So how do you juggle everything at the moment in terms of your creative projects, but also school?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a struggle. Luckily, my school is, I attend a public school. And luckily, they've been very understanding with, you know, my medical condition, and also when I'm off doing things through the YouTube or TV. So they've been really great. And then if I'm in hospital having a medical procedure, or I've missed a few days of school or even like a month of school, then they're quite good at giving me the work to catch up with, which I try and do in my own time. It is hard. Luckily, I'm doing okay, like, you know, grades-wise and things like that, but it is a lot of stress sometimes, and it's a balancing act, but they're very good with letting me take time off to do the things I love, because they know that it could be my future, which is really great. So I've got really supporting school, but yeah, it's like wake up. Like when I was it was like before I went back to school after my operation, it was wake up, like work for like 8 hours, like just having like lunch breaks and stuff, and then like edit a video, upload the video, bed, and then repeat. So it was difficult, but I mean, it's
your passion.
It's my passion, yeah. You know,
and you make time for that.
Exactly.
Do you think there's a gap in the education system for how to start a YouTube channel? Because, you know, in university a lot of people do debating, and that really helps then for careers in the future, like in politics and law. Do you think there's something to be said for schools to teach kids about how to start a YouTube channel?
I do think that there's a gap in schools to talk to them a bit more about their futures, mm-hmm. because I feel like a lot of kids don't really know where life's going to take them, and a lot of kids these days do want to be a YouTuber and don't really know how to go about that, and so I think that either YouTubers could come into schools and educate kids on how to pursue that dream or career, or even they could be taught it in like a PSHE mm-hmm. lesson, or like have a day about jobs in the future, where they could not just educate them about jobs such as a doctor, a lawyer, things like that, things that actually kids aspire to be and want to pursue but just don't know how to go about it, because it's not really, with being a doctor or a lawyer or things like that, there are building blocks to getting there, mm-hmm. whereas with YouTube it's a lot more, you don't really, it's like kind of unknown how to get there and how to make it into a career.
And obviously the reason that you're such an inspiration and a role model to lots of young people is that you talk about your health condition in a really eloquent and knowledgeable way. Yeah. But where do you draw the line in talking about that online?
So I feel like throughout the years I've become a lot more open and honest about my condition, because I've realised that people actually want to see what's going on in my life and want to see the more hard parts of my life, because it makes them feel less alone, which I love as well when people I watch share that. But I think I draw the line when I actually feel that I don't want a camera around. So when I was doing my life, this time round, I Will Survive, I was very poorly last year and spent most of my time in hospital in an intensive care. And so I had an operation in August where, even though I didn't mind them filming me and my family going into the hospital on the day of the operation, I just said, you know what, I don't want you filming me waiting for the operation, because it's the first operation that's a big one that I'm going to have out of a series of operations that I need. And I just want to go through that process with my family. Mm-hmm. And even though it probably would have been good to show that part, if I don't really feel comfortable with showing it, I'm going to say that I don't really feel comfortable with showing it. And I'll talk about that part in videos or on TV, but actually showing it, it creates a lot more vulnerability than just talking about it.
Did you feel it's such maturity to know what you want to do? And also, sometimes the bigger thing is knowing what you don't want to do. Because I think sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, I've got to say.
You have an obligation to say yes.
Say yes to everything. Did you feel worried about saying no?
I think because I'd already done one My Life, in that one I think I felt a bit more like scared to say no. But I feel like because I knew like the production team and the woman Lorna who films it and produces it, she's become a family friend of ours, so she sort of understands me and understands what I want and what I don't want. And so I just said to her, you know what, Lorna, like, this is, because she did ask, you know, can we film this? Because obviously it's a personal thing. And I said, you can film to a certain extent, but then I am going to say to you, I don't want to be filmed anymore. And so I think I've sort of learned that if I'm not happy with what's being filmed, and if it's got me in it, then I just need to say no, because otherwise they'll never know, and I'll watch whatever I've done and just wish I had said no. So, I mean, it's never really a case of like not wanting to do it like for bad reasons. It's just not wanting to do it if something's too personal, and you want to keep a certain level of privacy. So
yeah, I think this team at CBBC are very great at that, yeah, aren't they? Like, definitely. I know Kez, the commissioning lady, is so on it in terms of boundaries, but also creating beautiful stories.
Yeah, she knows a good story when she sees one, yeah.
And so, Nikki, how do you feel that your content has evolved over time?
I think when I first started, I was a lot more... I didn't really know what my... Not that I have a niche, because I do quite a lot of videos, but I didn't really have a style of video, so I sort of felt like I had to follow or act how people I looked up to did, where I would, you know, do similar videos to them, or, like, act a certain way or buy certain things, because I thought, you know, they're popular, like... I love their videos, maybe I should be like this. But then I think I found my voice and found basically my passions, and I feel like through that my videos have evolved from just, like, you know, makeup and talking about, even though I love makeup, I still do makeup videos, I mean, makeup obsessed, but, like, evolved from just, like, this is my favorite eyeshadow to, you know, talking about harder topics and mental health and things that I think are a lot more relatable and below the surface than just a makeup video, which I love a lighthearted video, don't get me wrong, that's escapism for people going through hard times. But sometimes it's nice to do a deeper video or a more vulnerable video to show that, yeah, I have followers, but I also have hard times which aren't always shown on screen. And I feel like that's also played a part in my life this time, because I wanted to show that vulnerability in a visible way. So I just feel like my content has evolved from being more kind of like above the surface to more below the surface, where I, you know, talk about the harder times but try my best to take a positive spin on it, because, I mean, if I'm explaining, you know, a hardship that I've gone through, I always want to show that there's a light to the end of the tunnel. I'm not going to stay like this, and me going through my medical condition doesn't mean there's someone else going through the same medical condition, but, you know, they can spin it on their life and say, yeah, I'm going through a hard time for a different reason, but, you know, Nikki's made it out and maybe I can too. And so I think that's what I really love.
Do you feel a pressure then with that, in terms of, you, again, you really eloquently say, like, if, you know, if your audience are going through something, you're kind of with them along the way. Does that come with pressure?
I think there's a pressure to be able to connect with all of your audience who are having problems and do message you, because there's only so much time in the day that you can really message someone back and have a ongoing text.
Yeah, like dialogue with them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because, you know, there's one message, but then, you know, they'll reply and say thank you and share more about themselves, and then you feel like you have to reply back, which I always do. But because I do that, and because I want to build a genuine relationship with my viewers and make them feel like my friends, I do feel an amount of pressure to reply to people in a certain amount of time. That doesn't seem like I'm ignoring them, because I feel like sometimes people can forget that I hate the word creators, but these creatives have a lot of followers and a lot of people are messaging them, and so they will get back to you, but it is hard sometimes. There's only like so many hours in a day and there's only so many people you can reply to, and so I think in that sense I feel like a pressure, but I never feel a pressure to be there for them or reply to them, because I'll always get round to them. It's just when is the pressure part. But I like to think of them as my friends, and I hope that they can think of me as a friend, because I think my relationship with my viewers is really good, and if they just don't feel comfortable enough to speak to someone that they actually know and have a personal relationship with, whether that be a friend or a family member or someone they trust, then I'm that person that has gone through hard times in a different way, maybe, that can be there for them or just listen to them and give them some words of advice.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
I think it's quite interesting that you don't like the word creators, because there's been a lot in the press this week as well about the word influencers and how that's become a negative term. And we describe what you do. You're a digital talent.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you would describe yourself when people ask what
you do? I've found it quite weird coming to terms with the fact that, like, people want to take pictures with me and, like, want my autograph, because I was just a girl that had a really low point in her life where she literally didn't know what to do and, like, had no loves or hobbies or things to get me out of my mindset, where so many things were happening with my medical condition and everything was so new and scary. And so I just, that was my little bubble where I could just, you know, like, whether that be like pretend and put on an American accent or just like talk about things that I loved, like makeup and things like that. So when it's crazy, because I know, like, I mean, I've got over 600,000 subscribers, but actually seeing them and people taking pictures with me is crazy, like, because they're a number, but then you see them in person, it's just really weird. So, I mean, I guess my favourite term is, like, YouTuber, because it's someone that does videos online on YouTube. But I find it weird when, like, we're called talent, because it's kind of like, what is our talent? Like, I mean, if you're really good at singing or baking or makeup, then, like, yeah. But, like, I don't know.
You're a talking head.
Yeah.
You're a thought leader.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to be able to speak so eloquently about those subjects, that is a talent.
I think it's just, I see myself as a person with followers. I mean, I guess you could say that is talent then, but, like, just someone online that talks about their life, really, and people like to hear about it, you know?
Yeah, you need to give yourself more credit.
But I guess there's not really a name for that, is there, really?
So you've done a number of scaled-up productions. So we've already touched on My Life, but you've also done your interview series with CBBC. How do you find working with a bigger production team?
To be honest, at the beginning, I found it quite nerve-wracking, because I feel extra pressure because there's more people watching me. Which I always find really difficult. That's why, like, on live TV and stuff, like, when there's so many big cameras and stuff, I'm just like, oh my god, it's not just an interview. But as I've done more and more, I feel like I've just eased into it a bit more, because you get to know the crew and the editors and the producers and everyone involved. So really, they become more like your family and your friends, and then they do, like, just like the production crew, because it's usually the same people every time. Which is really nice. And now that I've done, like, 25 interviews, I mean, it's like I know them like the back of my hand, really. But at the beginning, I found it so scary. And I think when I was on Bake Off as well, that was, like, the first time I'd done something with a big production company. And there's about, like, I mean, this is a bit of a, you know, this is a bit of an overstatement, but, like, 100 cameras, like, there's cameras everywhere, there are, like, cues, microphones, like, everything, like, retakes. And I think that, like, that element of being, like, proper TV scared me a bit, because I just had been in my room filming on my iPad and then my dad's video camera, like, by myself, and then it turned to, like, huge cameras and, like, loads of people involved. And so I think in that sense it was really scary, but now I find it a little bit easier. However, there is a lot more pressure when I'm doing stuff with bigger crews, because it's like more judgment.
And also there's pressure with celebrities, because you only get so long with them, don't you?
And as soon as they come in, we start filming.
It's
just like
no warm up.
Literally, like, right, let's do some stretches. Like, no, it's literally just like, hi, nice to meet you, should we start? Because sometimes we only have like 10-15 minutes with them, and then it's kind of, you have to bang out the questions, but then it's difficult because, I mean, you don't really know them, so you're also trying to build a rapport and relationship with them whilst you're doing it. So, I mean, you just hope for the best that, like, that builds up through the interview. But yeah, I feel like my interview skills have got better as I've gone along. I watch back on, like, my first few interviews, and I just think, you could have, like, stopped that question there, or, like, you could have said, instead of you could have said this. But I think that's what's really nice, is that you learn from your mistakes and you just don't do them the next time. But, yeah.
Who are you most scared to interview?
Oh, I mean, Theresa May must be up there.
Yeah.
She's the PM.
I feel like Nicole Scherzinger.
Really?
To be honest.
She'd swallow you up.
She's so nice. After I got out of hospital in June, she actually came to visit me at my house.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really exciting. She's so, so nice. I was really nervous to first meet her, but I actually met her before I interviewed her at Pride of Britain briefly.
Yeah.
So that sort of meant that she knew who I was, kind of.
Yeah.
So it made it a lot easier.
We go way back.
Yeah, we go way back. Both Nicoles, like Nikki and Nikki.
Exactly. New TV show.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like every single person I interview I get nervous for. I get nervous for everything. Like, people are like, you're so confident, which I am, but I get so nervous before everything, like even things I don't need to get nervous for, which sometimes I thrive off of, and sometimes it can be a hindrance. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always get nervous interviewing everyone, but the PM was definitely up there because I just didn't know how to act. Like,
yeah, like do you bow? Do you?
I didn't bow. Like, nice to meet you. Like, I was in her office. Like, I was just, you know, it's trying to build a rapport with the Prime Minister is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And so what do you feel like, do you feel traditional TV channels could do more to connect with digital creators?
I feel like they definitely are doing more now. Yeah. But I feel like there's still a long way to go. I think that a lot of TV channels are sort of not stuck in their ways, but have ways that they like of doing things and don't really branch out. Whereas I feel like YouTube and online and social media is a lot more creative and free. And I think it would be nice to do something where it's a little bit more free and less, I guess, less constructed like most TV things are. I think it would be nice, like, even though we're making a lot of movements in like mental health and things like that, I think it would be really nice if they did some like maybe like vlog style videos, because I feel like it's nice when videos are filmed in a little bit more of an intimate and personal way, because then the viewers feel more like they're connecting with the person doing the video. And so I think they could learn to connect with their audience better by doing more videos that they can relate to and that are less constructed, like having loads of cameras everywhere and things like that.
Almost like X Factor.
Exactly.
It's so overly produced now, and I think a lot of people would like to go back to whenever they were just all in a room and there's just one desk.
Which I loved, like, and just a little microphone above.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that's what I love. Like, and I feel like it would be really nice if some things went back to that. I think it's still nice to have the constructed stuff, because I mean that's what you want on TV, and the more polished stuff than what YouTube is. But I think you also need to find a balance of both, because if it's too constructed, it can feel almost fake in a way. And so I think finding that balance of reality with, you know, vloggy style videos and videos where they talk about, you know, relatable things, and also highly produced videos, then I think that would be really good if they just worked in a little bit more freedom.
Yeah. So who do you like to watch online?
So I think when I started, it was the like OGs, like, you know, Zoella, Tanya Burr, Jim Chapman, Alfie Days, them people. And I liked how they almost made their viewers seem like their friends, which is what I try and do. I really like building a relationship with my viewers. Now I kind of jump from different channels because I have so many passions now. I love like James Charles. I think everyone loves James Charles. because I love how passionate he is for makeup, and how he's growing.
He's a
superstar, right? He is, isn't he? So talented. So I love him. I love Nikki Tutorials. I love how creative they are. And then sometimes, like, I don't know, I watch so many different people. Sometimes I watch, you know, singing videos. So I love, like, there's a guy called Alex Iono, who's a singer. I love his videos because he's so creative with, like, mashups. And then sometimes I'll watch Zoella as well. Not as, like, I feel like before I just religiously watch just certain YouTubers, where now I sort of float around and, like, will type in a certain video I want. Just say I type in, like, vlogs. If I'm wanting to, like, watch a vlog while I do my makeup, I'll just click on whatever one looks good, which I think's nice than having to just stick to certain people, because you just find out more people that maybe have less subscribers that are actually really good. So lots of people, just depends what mood I'm in.
And just to finish off, do you have a career bucket list? Is there certain goals that you still want to tick off?
So I've literally got the list on my phone.
Right.
Can you share with us?
Play.
Are you listening, Lewis?
That was a quick look to the manager there.
Right, let's see. There's not loads on it. It's not like a long list, but let's see. Okay, so merch has a tick on it because I've brought out some merch. And we're currently sort of talking about doing a book. I'd love to do like a teenage advice book about like, I'd love to do like a cookery book as well within that maybe or on the side, but about, you know, coping with school, revision, mental health, confidence, things like that. And also like healthy lunch recipes, things like that. Basically like a teenage survival guide kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'd love to do a makeup line at some point. That would be so cool. And then I've also been doing a little bit of singing recently. I've always loved to sing. Again, it's like a coping mechanism for me. And I've recently, last year, wrote a couple of songs about like mental health and just hard times and how you can just make it into a positive. Because sometimes I feel like it's hard to talk about how you're feeling, but singing it seems to be easier in some way when you write down your thoughts and sing them. And so that's what I did last year. And I've made a couple of songs about my feelings and just the ups and downs of my life. So I'd love to make them like into actual music one day. But the only thing is I hate singing in front of people. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to work
Adele
out.
Still does. So it happens
to
the
does
best
she?
Them. Yeah, she has awful stage fright.
Oh my God, so do I.
Apparently every time she goes to do a gig, she throws up. Before she goes on stage.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she still does
the best.
It though, so. And her voice is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say you're only 14 and you've already achieved so much more than people
I
do
have,
in their whole
yeah,
lives.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So I'm sure you can make anything happen.
Oh, thank you. That would be amazing. Like, I've got like the little tick emoji, so every time I like accomplish something, I just do the little green tick.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah, yeah, isn't it just? It's like a to-do list.
Oh, thanks for talking to us, Nikki.
Thank you for
and have a great
me.
Time at VidCon.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about us, we're on Instagram at BBC Studios Talentworks.
This podcast is produced by Shola Aleje for BBC Studios.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.